tonight, Lord. We're so in awe that you would love us so much, that you would make a way for us to be able to be with you. We're in awe at how much you love us, God. That you have plans for us that I believe that some of us have not even begun to see the plans you have. Age doesn't matter, whether older or younger. God, you have plans for our lives. And Lord, we know that part of that plan is being transformed by your peace. The peace that we learned about today, that we can just fall asleep in the middle of a storm because we know how much you love us. I just pray tonight, Father, as we go deeper into your word, that you would help us to see the truth for each one of our lives, the truth that would set us free. God, you don't reveal truth to hurt us. You reveal truth to help us. And I pray tonight that, God, we would be open to receive from you all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, Lindsay. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, Jesus. There we go. Whew, it's just good to get together as girls, isn't it?
Yes.
I was listening to y'all singing, and it just sounded heavenly. I thought, this must be what heaven's going to be like, right? And we'll allow some baritones and some basses, right? But we got us a good girls' choir here already. Lacey's going to pass out your papers for tonight for your notes. But if you don't take a bunch of notes, it's okay. This is going to be on YouTube probably sometime next week, so you can go back and listen to it again. For those of you who don't know, Redeemed Church has a YouTube channel, so you can not watch us, but you can listen to us. And you can listen to recent messages, but Lacey's also gone back. Like, all the women's conferences we've ever done are now on there. So you can listen to them again and again. Amen? But it is good to take notes, because throughout my years of helping kids with tutoring, I have learned that if you take notes when you're learning something or listening to something, you're more likely to retain it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And then it gets really great when you add chocolate. I'm serious, you girls. I'm serious. I can't tell you how many kids that I taught how to write their letters with chocolate pudding. And they got the flow because, you know, you got to lick your finger in between to make sure that the... I did cheat. But you know what? They loved it. And when I said it's time to write, they ran to the kitchen. That's right. Okay, so we are continuing on with this morning's message of peace of mind. We're being transformed by the word peace, but specifically peace of mind. And our theme verse for the conference is Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him. And when it means keep, does it mean just casual keep? No. Remember, it means to protect or to guard, right? So this is like a military term. The Lord is keeping you, right? In perfect peace. And what's important about perfect peace? Anybody remember?
Double.
What'd you say? Double. Thank you, Rose. Thank you, Lacey. It's double. In the Hebrew, it means shalom, shalom. So it's that oomph of not just peace, yeah, completeness, wholeness. No, it's completeness, wholeness, right? This is like the Lord's really adding his emphasis. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. And what's the other word we used?
Fixed.
Whose mind is fixed on you because he trusts in you. And there's a difference we learned this morning. We're going to kind of do a little bit of reviewing and adding some more as we go. There's a difference between peace of mind, like the disciples had, P-I-E-C-E, and peace of mind, like Jesus had, P-E-A-C-E. And this morning we talked about that the peace of mind is like having a piece of something, but not the whole, right? And this morning April asked me to bring the two pieces that are now a whole, and that is my Shelly teacup. I had the bottom. Remember, I found it at a garage sale for 25 cents, and then my uncle called for my 50th birthday and wanted to do something special for me and something that I would not normally do for myself. And at first I told him I didn't think there was anything, but then I thought, wait, yes, there is something. So I had a piece, but now I have the whole set, right? And we learned this morning that the pieces that the disciples had weren't all bad, right? They'd followed Jesus, they were obeying Jesus, they went to Jesus when they needed help, but they didn't have the whole picture, right? So we're going to look at tonight what our minds are fixed on. When you have pieces of something, there is more likelihood and more room for fear. Let's say that again. When you have pieces of something in your life, pieces of the word, pieces of the truth, and not the whole, there is more room for fear to be able to get in. Have you ever tried to put a puzzle piece in a completed puzzle? Have you ever tried to do that? No, why would you do that? Because there's no room, right? Yeah. I don't care how hard you slam that thing. I don't care how hard you try to get into the crack and crevice. It's already whole. Do you see the difference? So when you have pieces, you can get other things in there. Even if they're the wrong piece, you can still try to get something into the puzzle, right? That's like our lives.
So you said pieces of truth, what?
Pieces of truth. What'd I say? I think I said it, when you have pieces, it allows fear to come in.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, that's what it was. When you have pieces, it allows fear to come in. But when you're whole, you can't get it in as easily, right? Because those are teeny tiny cracks. And if it's a really good puzzle, it's really difficult. I mean, sometimes I've spilled water on a puzzle and it doesn't even go through, right? Those are good puzzles. I mean, it does absorb on the puzzle, but it doesn't go through, right? So what are our minds fixed on? Fear or faith? And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. So again, this morning we talked about the peace of mind that Jesus had. I remember he was the one in the boat, because they were all in the same boat, right? He was the one in the boat that was able to do what?
Sleep.
Mm-hmm. He was asleep, right, in the middle of a storm. His mind was made up, and that's what we have to reach a point. We have to reach a point that we just say, the word of God is true, and I refuse to let the devil have one tiny piece in my life. He's not going to take away my peace, right? We have to be fully persuaded. And that's what Jesus was. Jesus was fully persuaded. His mind was fixed. And sometimes we don't realize that the first step to victory starts here. Starts right here in our minds. Joyce Meyer calls it the battlefield of the mind. Why does she call it the battlefield? Because we do this thing where we go back and forth in our minds before we're fully convinced of something, right? Sometimes you have to try something out. Have you ever had a new product, a cleaning product that'll come out? And you're like, well, I don't know. What do you got to do? You got to try it to see if it works. And then if your bathtub turns white instead of staying the same color, you're like, I am convinced. I have seen the evidence, right? And that is the same thing that happens with the Word of God in our minds. Are we fully convinced that God is going to do what he said he's going to do? And that's where the battlefield comes in is, well, maybe, no, maybe not. Is God true? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. We've got to stop the battle and just come to a decision that the Word of God is true and everything he says in there about you is also true. Because when we reach that place, our minds are fixed. And it's going to be very difficult to convince you otherwise. I don't know if you guys do it in your household, but we do essential oils. And I remember when we first started that we didn't have a lot of believers. And I was probably one of them. But when I started using some of the essential oils for, let's just say, sniffles, right? There's this one that's called, it's a kid's one, but it's called Sniffles. And you put it right here, and you put it right here on your nose, and you dab a little tissue because you don't want to rub it in your eyes, because essential oils in the eyes do not work. And so at first it was like, yeah. But when I had a cold, and I was plugged up, and I put that there, and I could breathe again, I was fully convinced that this stuff works, right? And then my brother-in-law, Randy, he had been sick a couple of months ago, and it was just hanging on and hanging on. And so I brought him, it's these packets, and they're, it's an Ningxia. And not that I'm making a commercial for this, but I'm trying to prove a point. but it's antioxidants. It's just full with all these berries and juices and stuff. And I told him, here, take this. Take one in the morning and one at night till you start to get better. And then just take one half in the morning, half at night. Yeah. Well, whatever. Well, then he took it. And it worked. And he said, and I didn't take it after the third day. And the symptoms started coming back. And he was like, I got right back on it. And he's like, Rose, you got to get some of this stuff. It really works, right? Because he had tested it and it had proven true, right? It did what it was supposed to do. And that's the same thing with the Word of God. When you have seen the Word of God move in your life, and if you're at Redeemed Church for any length of time and you question healing, I would question you. Because we have an incredible prayer email where we see prayers answered that are miraculous. Stage 4 cancer. People that should have died years ago, they're still alive. And they're not just in a bed somewhere. They're alive. They're out there. They're living their lives, right? So trying to convince me that prayer doesn't work and the Word of God doesn't work for healing, you're not going to be able to do it. Because my mind is fully fixed on the fact that God is faithful. So that's where we have to reach, is we've got to know that God has a plan for our lives. And that's what Jesus knew. We talked about that this morning. He knew he wasn't going to die in a storm in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. That was not the end for him, right? God has a plan for each one of our lives. We don't have to live in fear of dying. Besides the fact, if you are a Christian, this is great. But up there is way better, right? Heaven is not like I went to heaven. No, it's not a second place. It's a first place, right? There is no fear in that because perfect love casts out all fear, right? So heaven is just his perfect love all the time. We don't have to be scared or afraid, right? He knew his father heart and because he spent time with him. And we can have that same assurance by, like we learned today, canning the word, being in the word of God, and applying that to our lives. And when you have your mind made up, then you have actions from a mind at peace. We talked about this morning, Jesus falls asleep, the storm happens, and he wakes up. Does he wake up on his own? No, the disciples wake him up, right? We talked about this too. He could have slept through the whole thing. And it wouldn't have bothered him at all because he was in perfect peace. So Jesus had perfect peace and he woke up because of the disciples waking him up. And then he's ready, right? He doesn't just wake up and yawn and stretch. No, he wakes up in perfect peace with authority. Say authority.
Authority.
Now, sometimes we don't quite realize, I think, the authority that we have as believers, right? But tonight we're going to learn. So Jesus wakes up with authority, and his reaction to being awakened, the first thing we see of authority is he arose. He arose. It wasn't like he got up slowly and casually. He got up and he was awake. He was ready to face this thing, right? He arose in the Greek literally means to arouse completely, to wake fully. He woke up ready to do what needed to be done. I think this is, it's not exactly like Jesus, but when I was in YWAM, we had there was 8 girls to every, it was a room, but it was a big room. And so YWAM is Youth with a Mission. I wasn't exactly a youth, but I was there. And so I was more on the older side. And so we were all in the room. We had this one girl that she would get up like 5:30 in the morning. I'm like, really? That is not religious, okay? That is not at all something that God wants us to do. And it's already bad in Hawaii because when you wake up in Hawaii in the morning, it could be 5 in the morning and it's so bright. And this place did not invest in shades. It just didn't. It was terrible. Anyway, so she would always do the same thing. She'd get up, and you could, like clockwork, she'd go over and pull the drawer. The drawer was always squeaky. And she'd reach her hand in, and she'd get her little hair thing, and then you could hear her closing the drawer. It was just, you know, one of those people that are just very routine-oriented. But she also wore glasses, and so a lot of times when she would put her hair up, it was because she's going to get in the shower. So she wouldn't put her glasses on until after she got out of the shower. Anyway, so this one morning, She's going through a routine, and you're awake, but you're not awake. You know how that is when you're used to somebody. And all of a sudden, I hear this blood-curdling scream. I mean, it was loud. It was so loud, the boys all lived downstairs, but it woke all the dorms upstairs and all the dorms downstairs. It was that loud of a scream. And so I was just like, oh, man, whatever. I'm like, it's 5:30 in the morning. I'm not getting up, right? I'm like rolling over. And she continues to scream. So several of the girls are getting out of their bed, and they're going to see what she's screaming about. And now there are multiple girls screaming. And the boys are pounding on the door, the RAs, guys from downstairs. What is going on in there, right? So they open the doors, and the RAs are in, and they're yelling, and the girls are still screaming. And I finally rolled out of bed. I was like, what is going on? I go in there, and in Hawaii they have spiders, and they're big. And so when she had reached in to get her hair, all she saw was the black fuzzy thing that looked like her headband or her hair rubber band thing, scrunchie. So she reached in and picked it, and when she did, it moved, obviously. And so she screamed and dropped it, right? And so it's on the ground, and everybody's, guys, they they had a broom, and they're trying to get it with the end of the broom that's fuzzy. I was so mad. I was like, I just want to sleep. It's way too early for me to get up, right? So I went over there, and I grabbed the broom from the guy RA, and I went over and I turned it around on the right end, right? The one that's actually hard and can do something. I just went, boom, like that, and it just died. And I gave him back, and I said, get out of here. Walked back and got back to bed, right? So that's not exactly Jesus. But what I'm saying was the idea of getting up and being ready to do with whatever needs to be done for whatever that circumstance is, right? I didn't have to think about it. My dad had trained me. I mean, you don't kill a spider with the fuzzy end. You're just going to smush it or make it go back somewhere further, and then you can't find it, and then you're really in trouble, right? You got to use force, right? And so the point is this. When we wake up, when something's going on, we can be like Jesus and be ready to take care of a situation or a circumstance. There have been times in my life where people, we talked about this morning, that people have called in the middle of the night. And sometimes you're all groggy, but then it's like you hear the need and you are fully awake. You know what I'm talking about? You're not half asleep. It's like everything is right on track, and there's an emergency, and I'm speaking over that thing, or I'm praying with that person because I'm ready to take care of whatever needs to be taken care of, right? This is where we need to be as Christian women. We need to have so much peace in us that when we wake up, that authority is right there. We don't have to go, oh, let me go find my Bible and, okay, let me think about what am I going to pray? What verse? You see what I'm saying? That's not like Jesus. Jesus got up and he was fully ready to take on whatever had to be taken on. The next thing that he did, and the next thing that we see, his second reaction to authority is he rebuked. Now this is not a, oh, please don't do that. That I don't want you to keep doing that. Don't do that, right? No, this is a rebuke, right? The word rebuke here is, I'm going to try to say it. It's Greek. Epitemao. There you go. That's as good as it gets. It's addressing the situation to correct itself, to rebuke, to warn, to sternly tell, to charge and forbid. So when he got up and rebuked the wind, he said, stop. Full authority. He didn't have to question, am I prayed up enough for this? Am I ready for this? No, he got up because he had been in peace. And because he had been in peace, he got up with authority. He arose and then he rebuked. And it says that he went from sleeping to correcting just like that. How can he do that? Because his mind was fixed on faith. Not fear, faith. The third thing that we see, his third reaction, so he arose, he rebuked, and then he said. It says not only did he rebuke the source of the issue, he rebuked the issue. We'll get into this a little bit more. He said, peace be still. Here we go again. Siopao is Greek, and it means to silence, to hush an involuntary stillness. What does that mean? That means it didn't have a choice. And it didn't volunteer for the waves to stop. It was involuntary. They were told to stop, and they stopped. We need to know that our words are powerful, especially when we're saying His words. Sometimes people go to pray, and it's like, you ever remember those merry-go-rounds that we had as kids? They don't have anymore because, you know, they're dangerous. All of us lived through it, but they're dangerous. And the whole point of those was you go around and around and around and around. And do you ever go anywhere but around? No. No, you don't. And some people, I'm sorry to say, they pray merry-go-rounds. I'm just going to be honest. They go around and around and around in their prayer life. And they aren't going anywhere. And nothing is getting done. Why? Because they're not praying the word. When the devil came at Jesus, did Jesus sit down and have a conversation with him? No. He told him, "It is written." If Jesus told the devil the word of God, guess what, girls? We should be telling the devil the word of God when he comes against us. Amen? Our words are powerful. Our words have authority when we are speaking the word. It's a lot of words right there. A mind of peace, or a peace, oh, wow. Peace of mind with authority produces results. Now, this is an important thing for us to see. Not only should we have actions, but there should be results to our actions. When Jesus spoke to the wind, it ceased. It stopped. It didn't go, and Jesus said, "I rebuke you, stop," and it go, and keep going. No, it says it stopped completely. Jesus knew to go to the source of the issue first. And this is so important for us. This can be a life-changing thing for you if you learn that it's not always about the symptoms or the issue. It's the source behind it. And that's where praying, that's where being in the Word is going to give you a revelation, okay? So you can be treating a symptom in your life over and over and over and over again until you figure out what is the source of the problem, right? There are symptoms that we have, and it'd be great to have those symptoms gone, but a lot of times you can't get rid of the symptoms until you go to the source and take care of that. Does that make sense? So Jesus didn't speak to the waves first, because what good would it have done to speak to the waves if the wind is still blowing? They might have silenced for a minute, but, I mean, there's natural laws here, right? If you keep having wind blowing on water, there's going to be waves, right? So Jesus went to the source first, and he addressed the source. And when he addressed it, it was done. And guess what? You and I have that same authority. We can have the same peace of mind that Jesus had and the authority that he had to be able to ask the Lord, what is the source of this problem? What is the source of this? Lord, I need to know what is behind all this. Have you ever dealt with someone in your life and it just seems like, man, they're just not a nice person, right? And you're praying, Lord, let them be nice today. Please, I have to work with them. Let him be nice today. Let him have a good attitude, Lord. Please let him have a good attitude, right? But what we really should be saying is, God, what is the source behind this that's making them this way? What should I be praying for them in their lives? Is there something that I need to pray about for them on their behalf to help them to change? And you'd be surprised how many times God doesn't reveal each other's trash, right? But he can tell you, they're struggling in this relationship, so pray for this. Pray for peace in their family, right? Maybe they have a health issue. Pray for health for that person. He can give you insight, right? If you have kids that are dealing with something, I'm going to tell you as a mom, something my mom told me. First of all, every child is different. So you cannot treat every child the same. So if you have one child that has an issue, instead of just looking at the symptoms, ask the Lord, what is the source of the problem? What is it that we're really dealing with? Because what God will do, he will help you to see it, moms. He will help you to see it. When we were little, my brother and I were the first set, and then my sister came, and then we adopted my sister Stacy. But for a long time, it was just he and I, especially when we were growing up in grade school. And our grade school was pretty close to our house. And my brother decided that he was not going to ride the bus anymore home from school. He was going to walk home, but he wasn't going to tell my mom. And he told me, like he did a lot of times, don't say anything, right? So I'm the older sister. Don't say anything to mom. I'd be like, oh, don't make me do this. Don't make me do this, right? And so it worked out great for a little while because it wasn't raining. But we lived in Oregon, and that doesn't last for very long. And so he repeatedly kept coming home from school soaking wet. And I remember my mom would say, why are you so wet, right? And he'd say, oh, I was out petting the dog. Because our dog had a dog kennel that came around, like a run on the side of the house. So he told her he was out there petting the dog, right? And I'm thinking, oh, man, he didn't. But I can't say anything, right? I've already told him, and he had that sibling thing going on. And I know her and who she is. And I know she probably prayed and said, Lord, why is my son coming home soaking wet all the time, right? I don't remember how she found out, but sooner or later he got found out that he was walking home from school, which she would have let us do if we asked, right? But not in the rain. That would not have been okay. And so he got found out because she discovered the source. The source wasn't the fact that he was standing out in the rain petting the dog. The source was he was lying. He was lying. And when we grew up, you didn't lie to mom because she always found out. Like, always found out. I mean, either her or my dad. My mom would pray, and my dad knew everybody in town, and so somebody would tell my dad, and it would get back, you know. I mean, my brother and I, we had a 67 Chevy Nova when we were growing up, and my brother and I loved to take it places, and he would be like, oh, let's tell dad we're going to the library. And you guys remember when 82nd in Portland was really cool? Yeah. It's like trash now, but it used to be really, really cool, and you, like, drove your cars up and down 82nd. That was the thing to do. I remember I'd be like, oh, he's going to find out. No, nobody will find out. And so, oh, yeah, we always got found out. And so we'd come home, and my dad would be like, how was the library? Did you get a lot of studying done? And, oh, yeah, lots of studying. Really? Because my friend called and wanted to know why the Nova was going back and forth on 82nd because he was eating at this restaurant and he kept watching you guys drive up and down. You sure you went to the library? And we'd be like, no. It was me. I'd be like, no. I couldn't lie. I couldn't do it. Anyway, where do we get off on that tangent? Wow. Okay, so it's addressing the source. There we go. So it's important for us not just to look at the symptoms. You know, so if your kids are having issues, maybe it's anger issues, maybe it's fear issues, ask the Lord what is the source so that you can speak to the source and rebuke it, right? Husbands or friends, if there's things going on that are uncharacteristic, ask the Lord, what is the source that I need to be praying for? And rebuke that and expect it to change, right? Jesus didn't rebuke the storm and wonder, is it going to change? No, he knew it would change. And the second thing, when you are at peace in your mind and you have authority, the second result that Jesus had was there was a great calm. The word in the Greek is only used three times in the Bible. Only used three times. It's galene. And it's used in every one of the references that you have in your scriptures. Remember the scriptures I gave you today? Mm-hmm. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's only in this story. This is the only place it's used. Now listen to what this means. This is awesome. I'm just telling you. It's awesome. It means literally calm. Calmness. Stillness of sea. But its origin comes, this is amazing. Its origin comes from the Greek word galao, which means to laugh. To laugh as a sign of joy or satisfaction. When Jesus spoke, peace be still to the waters, it was not a gradual thing. It was instantaneous. And it had the effect of almost that the waters were laughing with joy that they had been calmed. This is the calmness that we can have in our lives. We can speak to the symptoms, speak to the results of the source, and we can reach that place where it is so calm, we just giddy with laughter, right? Not because it's silly, but just with joy. Thank you, God, the symptoms are gone, right? Thank you, Lord, that this situation is at peace. It's that idea. I just thought that was so cool to laugh as being satisfied with joy. That is stinking awesome. I'm just saying, yeah. To be able to have a situation that's been out of control, a stormy situation, to come to that place of perfect calmness. The source was stopped and the issue was over. And when it was over, it was over. And then the third thing that we can see here, that authority produces results. Not only did Jesus speak to the source, not only did he rebuke the source and speak to the results, lives were saved and lasting impressions were made. Every person with him that day, and there wasn't just his boat, there were other boats that came with him, not one was lost. Now this is really important for us, because our lives are not just about us. Do you know that? There is always somebody in your life that is affected by what you do. I used to think, no, this is just me, right? I'm the only person affected by it. But that's not true. Even the smallest decision that we can make sometimes can end up into a disastrous result, right? If we're not following after the Lord. But lives can be saved and lasting impressions can be made when we are women of peace who have authority. Every person was saved that day. None was lost because of the authority Jesus had from a mind filled with peace. When you have a mind filled with peace and you are a woman of authority, the lives around you will be saved. Why? Because God will be able to speak to you the answers that you're needing in that peace. Like I shared with you yesterday, I know it's not the greatest illustration, but the toilet. If you're in the toilet with them, swirling around, there is no peace, right? Half the time you are fighting just to keep your head above water, right? How are you supposed to help the person in there with you? You can't. But if you are at peace, you're outside, you're able to see what needs to be done and you can take care of it. Amen? The other part of this is when we have peace of mind, we can use our God-given authority, results happen, and the impressions are made. Impressions, other people's impressions. So the people around you that you think aren't listening, aren't watching, I can't tell you how many times I've had them come back around and say, remember when you did this? It affected me. And I thought to myself, if she can pray like that, I want to pray like that. If that's the kind of authority she has, I want that authority. Do you see, it impresses the people around you. And so a lot of times what it is they start coming to you and saying, remember when you prayed for me and it got better? Well, now I'm dealing with this. Can you pray for me about this, right? An impression was made on their mind to the point where it gets to that they want what you have in their lives. Amen? So all of this because Jesus had perfect peace. His mind was stayed on the Lord. He did not have fear. He had faith. The thing is, we can have this too, but it's a choice. Are we going to have minds fixed on fear or minds fixed on faith? Fear allows the situation to lord it over you. That's what fear does. Fear allows the situation to lord it over you. Faith tells the situation who the Lord is over it. So there's a difference. Faith tells the situation who the Lord is over it. The disciples were fixed on fear. Matthew 8:25. They said, we are perishing, right? So when you are fixed on fear, you tend to see the worst in everything. They saw the worst in their situation. We're gonna die. We're gonna die. They were looking at the wind and the waves and the boat, and they thought, we're going to die. But that's what happens when you're fixed on fear. Another thing that happens when you're fixed on fear, you blame other people. What did they say to Jesus in Mark 4:38? Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Do you not care? They were blaming the situation on Jesus. That's what they were doing, but that's what happens when you are fixed on fear. You blame other people. My life is this way because da 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 da. You can fill in the blank, right? It was your mom or your dad or this lady that used to work in our eye doctor. She was telling me one day, we were talking about kids or something, and she said, yeah, I just went ahead and got paid for all of my kids to have counseling. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. Is there something going on? And she's like, no, but I just know that like everybody else, my kids will find something to blame me for. So I figure if they're in counseling now, then the counselor can tell them that, you know, okay, it was my fault, and they can move on with their lives. And I was like, that's new. I haven't heard that one before. Pre-counseling to help your children to realize that you're the source of all their problems and help you to get out of it. Okay, that seemed to me like she was fixing on something that wasn't even there yet, right? But that's what happens when you have fear, is you want to blame everyone else, right? The third thing is, when we're fixed on fear, the situation or the circumstance is our truth. Can you see where that's a problem? If you go to the doctor's office and the doctor says you have this, and if you're fixed on fear, that what he said is your truth. But is that the truth? No, the truth is what the word says. This may be a fact about your life, but facts can change, truth does not. So if the fact is you've been diagnosed with something, you get in the word and you find out what the truth of it says, and that's what you stand on. But if you are fixed on fear, you're not going to see the word, you're going to see the situation. Right? And that's what's going to control you and run you. Maybe it's your family situation. And you're looking at it, you're like, oh, it's so out of control. It's never going to change. You're looking at the situation, not the truth. Right? That's why it's so important for us to stop and evaluate, where am I fixed at? Am I fixed on fear or am I fixed on faith? Jesus was fixed on faith. And when you're fixed on faith, your focus is on your Father's ability to take care of you. That's why it says in Mark 38 that he fell asleep on a pillow. I love this. When I was, I was reading through the Gaithers Bible, and I was reading one of the excerpts from one of the ladies that's a singer, and she said, I used to deal with such fear at night that I didn't even want to go to bed. And she said, until I realized that I could lie down and sleep in peace. So she said, I started speaking to my pillow before I would go to bed, and I would say, this pillow here is a pillow of peace. And when my head hits this pillow, it's over. I'm going to sleep. I'm not going to think fear thoughts. And she said, at first, she said, I was like, I'd go to bed, and the enemy would say, oh, yeah, you're going to wake up. You're going to wake up in fear. This isn't going to work. And she said, I would get up, and she said, I would say out loud, this is my pillow of peace. Talk to Jesus. And she said, I just determined I was done having a conversation in the middle of the night about fear. Talk to Jesus. I'm on my pillow of peace. She said, it got to the point where she said he might wake her up for a second, but then she went right back to sleep. She had her pillow of peace. And sometimes, girls, we need to grab hold of a simple truth like this that says, I got a pillow of peace. I'm laying down. I'm not getting up. The Lord's going to take care of everything else. Amen? And he'll come, because like for me this past week, mine wasn't fear thoughts. It was, what are you going to speak on? What are you going to do? What if this? What if that? What if? And you're laying there, and it's not bad thoughts, but it's keeping you up. Can I tell you something? When you stay up thinking all night long, it is not beneficial for you. It's not beneficial for your husband. It's definitely not beneficial for your children. Okay? It's not beneficial for anybody, right? Because you turn nasty. Why? Because we require sleep. I'm just saying, Lacey, don't say it out loud. Okay, anyway, just kidding. I'm just kidding. Now, I have good kids. They were very good to me this week. But we can do that. We can be in such a place of peace that we can speak to things and they have to change because of the authority that we have. When you're fixed on faith, you take care of others. What did Jesus do? He took care of the disciples in the middle of the storm. He could have told them, guys, I'm on my peace pillow. Talk to me later. But he didn't. He got up and he rebuked the storm and he told the waves to be quiet and everybody was saved. Guess what? That's the same thing that God wants to do through you. It's not just about you. It's about the lives around you that you're going to be able to speak into their lives and set them free. Amen? When you have people in your life, I'll just be honest with my kids. You can raise your kids to need you to pray about everything. Or you can raise your kids and give them the tools they need so they can pray for themselves and see things change. Now, there is power in agreement, absolutely. But when they come to me agree, it's like, you pray and I'll pray afterwards. Why? Because they have to reach that point where they see for themselves that they can speak to the wind, they can speak to the waves, and it can be stilled and calmed. Same thing with our church. We're not a church that's going to pray all the prayers for you. That would be terrible. That'd be like me giving you all bottles, right? You're not babies. You're women of God, right? So we give you the tools so that you can turn around and do the same thing. You don't have to be an ordained pastor to be able to rebuke the wind and the waves. That's not what the word says, right? It's us individually taking the authority that God has given us to turn things around. Last thing, when you're fixed on faith, you have authority over the situation and the circumstance. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know what that means? You walk into some place and there is chaos or fear or things are going nutty. So I'll just be honest. When I go in a store and there is a child that's out of control, I walk by and I say, nope. In the name of Jesus, you are quieted. You are calm. Calms down. I've been in a store before when there have been people that are out of control. I don't allow that. You know why? Because most of the time that's a demonic spirit and they're on drugs or alcohol or something and they are out of their mind. You don't get to be out of your mind around me. No, you take authority over that thing because that's my right. I am a child of God, and if I'm in the same place with you and you're going nutty, that's not happening, okay? I take authority, not over the person. We don't wrestle with people. We wrestle against not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And everywhere I go, my feet are shod, we'll learn tomorrow, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And this is my ground, and if I am here, you're going to be calm. It's a choice. What do we choose to do with what God has given us? We can just let it go and keep it happening, or we can pray and take authority and see things change. Amen?
Amen.
We're not just wimps, ladies. We're not wusses, okay? We are women of God that he has called to rise up for such a time as this and to change the world around us by living in peace and taking authority that we already have. My mom had shown me a little text that she had gotten from a friend of hers, and it had a saying that was pretty cool. But the saying says this: faith says something good is going to happen. Fear says something bad. They both take the same amount of energy, yet faith brings peace and fear brings torment. It's your choice. And when I was praying about this today, I thought, you know what? It takes less muscles for you to smile than for you to frown. And honestly, I think it takes more energy to live in fear than it does in faith. You know why? Because when you're afraid, muscles in your body tense up, right? When you're really afraid, you can't breathe, right? So you're hyperventilating. Is that the same thing that you do when you lie down in peace? No, when you're lying down, everything just, right? So it actually takes more energy out of you to live in fear than it does in faith. Now this morning, I'm sure you guys thought that I completely forgot. When I asked you to write down some words about the Sea of Galilee. Everybody remember those words? Someone shout out just one of those words that we learned this morning. The lowest. Anybody else? What's something
fault,
else?
Crack.
Fault. Crack. What else?
Rift.
What else?
Depression.
We listed out those words, right? And when you live in fear, listen to this. When you live in fear, you live in the lowest parts. Depression will try to hit you. You'll find rifts that will come between you and others. Fault will be blamed on someone else. And the cracks in your life will just keep getting bigger. But I think it's amazing that God specifically chose this area of the earth to bring Jesus. This is where Jesus' ministry came out of. And what does Jesus bring? He brings peace. And he can reach to the lowest part of your life. He can touch you in the lowest moments and bring peace. He can heal rifts. He can take those relationships that you thought would never turn around, and he can bring healings to those. Depression, that's nothing for Jesus. He can lift you out of that when you have faith. The fault, he can take away the fault finding, and he can take away the fault inside of you that maybe has been blamed on you. And the crack, what do we know about peace? It brings wholeness and soundness. Out of a place on the earth where it is the lowest place on earth, it is the biggest crack and fault line that there is. This is where Jesus' ministry rose from. That was so powerful to me to think about that Jesus was there. That's where he started. And he can reach all of these areas in our lives. What is the key? Stop making your focus on fear and get it over to faith. And sometimes it's not an overnight thing because we didn't overnight learn to be fearful. Sometimes it's a walking out process. But I have been asking the Lord, just like he spoke to the wind and the waves and he silenced them, I have been asking the Lord that this is not going to be a long drawn out thing for you women here tonight. I am asking the Lord for it to be one of those awakening to what the source of the problem is and the waters calming instantly. Because these are the last days and we need to be ready for whatever is coming our way. We need to be ready, not filled with fear, filled with faith. So when someone on the news says, like my mom was sharing earlier, if someone on the news says that all this chaos is gonna happen after the election, not in my city, not in my state. I live here, and because I live here, because I'm a child of God, I take authority over that spirit, and I rebuke that spirit in Jesus' name. When something comes up and maybe there's going to be a shortage on this or there's a shortage on that, you don't fear. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. Right? Well, maybe the economy is going to crash. Guess what? My God will supply all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. It's taking the word at its word. Right? It's literally saying, God, you said. And because you said, I choose to believe. I choose to believe in faith. The question is, what are we going to be fixed on? Lindsay, can you come to the piano? When we have peace, the same peace of mind that Jesus had, we can sleep through storms. We can sleep through chaos because we know who our God is. When we have peace of mind like Jesus had, we can speak to the storms and they have to change. When we have peace of mind, we can speak to the storms in other people's lives and see them change. When we have peace, we can use our God-given authority and watch things change. But it's a choice. It's a choice to focus on faith and fixing our eyes on Jesus. Why don't you go ahead and stand? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Can we sing, He is my peace? Thank you, Jesus. My peace, who has broken down every wall. He is my peace. He is my peace. He is my peace. Who has broken down. Be honest with you, girls. There have been things in my life that tried to come in and kill, steal, and destroy and take away my peace. I can remember nights where the fear was so heavy on me that I would literally take my Bible and just put it on my chest because I didn't even know how to pray anymore at that point. And you know what? I can tell you that the Lord has healed my mind. He has healed my emotions. Those things try to come against me now? No. I speak to them. And I want that same peace for each one of you. And I know it's a little brave, but I'm going to ask that you just come forward tonight. If this is you, if you have fears and anxiety and things that try to come against your peace, I want you to come down here. I'm going to lay hands on you, and we're going to believe it's over tonight. And I don't care if you've been prayed over 500 times. We're going to believe tonight is the night for you, that you're going to be able to have that peace, to be able to face things like you've never faced before. Thank you, Lord. Can you go ahead and sing? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I just thank you right now. Thank you, Lord, for going to the source. And in Jesus' name, we rebuke that. I th- thank you, Father, right now that healing is taking place from deep within, Father. Healing that maybe even parts that she's forgotten about, God, that you're bringing healing in Jesus' name. Thank you right now for that peace, Father. Thank you for that peace in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing her mind. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for healing her mind right now. Supernatural healing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just thank you for all the childhood things, the hurts, the disappointments, the aloneness, Father. I thank you right now, Lord, for healing her of every memory in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that right now you are filling her full and overflowing in her life, Father. I thank you, Lord, right now. Supernaturally touching her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Once and for all. Once and for all, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Everything that she's ever prayed, Father, for, that seems like it's been taken away or brought back, taken away. Tonight, Father, this is the last time. I thank you, Lord, for healing and wholeness. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, filling her with your peace. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, right now. Thank you, Father. Father, I just praise you right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your peace. Thank you, Lord, for your healing and your wholeness. Soundness of mind. Soundness of mind in Jesus' name. Soundness of mind in Jesus' name. No more struggling in Jesus' name. Soundness of mind. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for the authority that you've given her. She's going to rise up, Father, and take that authority in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your peace. Thank you for your peace, Father. Like a blanket, Father, wrapped around her, she walks and lives in that peace. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for the love that you have for us, God, that you don't want us to stay where we are. You want us to be able to move forward in life. And I thank you, Father, for this amazing time that we've had with you this evening. And I pray a protection over each person tonight, that the enemy will not be able to come in and take away what was done. We exercise our authority as women of peace, and we rebuke the source, and we speak to the symptoms, and we say, tonight, you're done. It's over. And Father, we will be so careful to give you all the praise, and we will share our testimonies with others, because that's how we overcome the devil. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And our testimony will be able to help someone else to be able to get out too. And I thank you, Father. I specifically come against the thought, you've been prayed for so many times. What use is this one? No, every use is this one. Every use is this one. Tonight was like no other night before. And this is it. It's the war is over. The war is over in Jesus' name. And Father, we just praise you and we thank you that this is sealed in the name and by the blood of Jesus. And nobody is taking away this peace from us. And we praise you for it tonight. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.